This meeting is now being recorded. Okay, perfect. Well, I've started the recording, but I would like to welcome everyone by good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD, Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 3, String Contention Objections and Disputes Call on the 27th of February, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. As a reminder, to all participants, if you would please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the meeting back over to Robin Gross. You may continue.
Thank you very much, and welcome everyone. Work Track 3 meeting. Today, let me quickly go over the agenda. We'll do welcome and introductions, any SOI updates, an update from our plenary co-chair, work done. Any, okay? Oh, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Okay, somebody types yes. That's good. I'm just going to delay. Okay, so I started to go through the agenda. I'm not sure how far I got before my audio cut out. Maybe I should try to dial.
Robin,
dial in
Cheryl here
for a better connection. Why don't we see if we can do maybe a plenary update first? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Robin, Cheryl here. I was going to suggest that we jump straight to, I'll do SOIs for you and then jump into the quick plenary review while Michelle and you get yourself connected. And I'm sure Michelle is more than happy to dial out to you because there seems to be a lot of latency and drop out on your line. Although Donna can hear you perfectly fine. Okay, right, I'll just take over for a few minutes. Cheryl Langdonor, and sorry about the technical hiccups. With the next slide, I assume, please, thanks to Michelle and whoever's doing the slide deck. Today's Work Track 3 agenda is we're finishing. Welcome and introduction. We're now going to ask for updates and statements of interest, and I'll then jump straight into the plenary. Today's still packed an exciting topic, however, is a continuation of string similarity and string confusion and a covering of upcoming meetings. And, of course, the ever-popular any other business. If there is anyone with any other business that they'd like to mention to us now, please let us know, and we'll call again for this before the end of the call. Right now, while Robin's getting sorted with getting the gremlins out of the phone line, is there anyone who has a statement of interest update?
Yeah, hi, Cheryl. It's Jim Prendergast.
Please, go ahead, Jim.
I actually don't have an SOI update, but I'm on the phone only, and I think we skipped that part as well. So if Michelle just register me that way, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. I was thinking that Robin may have got that far, but other than Jim, is there anyone who also wishes to declare that they are on phone only, noting that Gigi will be on phone only later on in the call? Thanks, Jim. Looks like that's about it for the phone only. For those of you who were not on the plenary call, plenary call was, I don't know, probably around 24 hours ago, perhaps a little less, and we continued, I think, a very interesting and fruitful discussion on one of the main overarching issues, and that is the types or categories of TLDs. I don't want to hold up much longer if we can avoid it because of the delay. So, Robin, are you back on with a good audio connect now? Please test your line, Robin. We're not hearing you if you're speaking.
Okay, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
We can, and it is my absolute pleasure to hand your meeting back to you.
Thank you. Oh, I did not know what happened with that audio earlier. Okay, so let's get back on track. I think we've gone reviewed the agenda, so is there anyone who would like to update their statement of interest?
Robin, we did all of that, Cheryl, here. You're really ready to jump straight into the section on string similarity, okay? So you have your agenda item 4.
Okay, fabulous. That's great. All right, so if we could go to the next slide then. Okay, so with respect to string similarity in the evaluation process, we've got recommendation 2, which we're looking at, which says that strings must not be confusingly similar to an existing top-level domain or reserved name. Okay, so the question is, limited to visual similarity in the 2012 realm, the standard of probable, not just possible, confusion. So there's some two different standards of confusion there, probable versus possible, that we're talking about. And also points of general agreement. So in terms of, you know, us coming to some consensus points here leading up to the initial report, how do folks feel about these things? For example, going forward, allowing plurals and singulars in the same language to move forward is not desirable. Terms need to be intended as plurals and singulars. Thus, the TLDs .new and .news would not be considered a plural or singular of the same string. And do we have general agreement around the elimination of the SWORD algorithm, the SWORD tool? So these are a few points that we wanted to put out there and get some feedback from the group on. So would anyone like to comment on any of these points, agree with them or disagree with them, or add some nuance to the discussion? Okay, well, I'm not seeing any hands or hearing any voices. I do see in the chat, Gigi has said she agrees strongly with the plurals and singular issue. And Christina Rosette has stated support the points of general agreement. Okay, so we're getting some support for these points. Anyone want to disagree or have any or want to agree? Anything else to say on these points? Okay, well, I don't see any hands or hear any voices or more comments, so let's go on to the next slide, please. Okay, so there's a proposal for string confusion objection, and here are some of the basic parameters. A single string confusion objection to be filed against all applicants for a particular string, rather than requiring a unique objection to be filed against each application. Basically, a single objection would extend to all applications for an identical string. There would be a tiered pricing structure for objection sets that encompass multiple applications. Each applicant for that identical string would would prepare a response to the objection. The same panel would review all documentation associated with the objection. Each response would be reviewed on its own merits to determine whether it was confusingly similar. And the panel would issue a single determination that identified which applicants would be in contention. Any outcome that resulted in an indirect contention would be explained as part of the response. a limited appeals process should be available to both the objectors and the respondents to handle perceived inconsistencies. Okay, so does anyone have any comments, concerns regarding this proposal for string confusion objection? Okay, I see in the chat Rubens has typed, the only thing missing is standing. Okay, that's a good point. And Christina has her hand up. Christina, please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks. Christina Rosette, Amazon Registry. There's something about this that I'm having difficulties with, and I'm not exactly sure why, but one thing that I did want to flag is that I think we need to provide for some kind of exception based on a prior agreement between the parties, in the sense that it could be the case that applicant A wants to file a string objection against, you know, applicant X. But that contention set also includes an applicant which, for completely unrelated reasons, applicant A may already have some kind of agreement with, that there won't be any kind of action of that sort, you know, any type of legal action or anything like that. So I guess what I'm thinking, I'm not articulating this very clearly, but I think we need to create some kind of escape valve, because what we don't want to do is put applicants in a position where they have to choose between pursuing a string confusion objection against one applicant or violating the terms of a pre-existing agreement.
Okay, thanks for that. Yep, that's a really helpful point. We'll need to incorporate that into this as well. Okay, did anyone else want to? I see Anne has her hand up. Anne, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Robin and Anne, for the transcript. I do see Christina's point about private contractual agreements, but I kind of wonder whether the string confusion objection issue is, you know, solely an issue related to the applicants themselves, and this, of course, kind of implicates potentially the independent objector, because I mean, I suppose it's in part a public protection for users of the internet, but maybe that wouldn't conflict in any way with what Christina has suggested about private applicants. But I think that there shouldn't be anything in private applicants' agreements that would stop the independent objector from objecting on string confusion grounds. Should there? I'm just raising the public confusion issue. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne. Would anyone else like to weigh in on this point or any of the other points that we've been talking about with respect to the proposal for string confusion objections? What about the limited appeals process? Did anyone have any thoughts to add to how perhaps to fashion the limited appeals process for string confusion objection? Okay, well, if we don't have comments, I guess then we can take this as agreement with the proposal on the screen. So did anyone else want to weigh in on this proposal, or does this look like something that we could be going forward with? Okay, so Christina types in the chat, so to be clear, we're talking about automatic consolidation, right? I believe that's correct. Yes. Okay.
Robin, Cheryl here. Just want to scroll you back a little in chat, if I may. The question between, the question raised by Rubens in terms of his desire to see standing added to what was the status quo in the 2012 applicant guidebook. I don't think we've fully explored that just yet, have we?
No, I think that's a good point. What would folks like to see with respect to standing on this particular type of objection? Something different than what we did in the last round, or a little broader, less broad? Rubens types in the chat, standing needs to be defined. I have a suggestion. Others might prefer different standings, but we need to pick one. Okay. Would you like to tell us your suggestion, or anyone else have a suggestion for how we should be fashioning the standing, the appropriate standing? How do we define that for this particular process? Okay, I see Anne's got her hand up. Anne, please go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. I just wanted to say that reading what Rubens has written in the chat, I would agree that, you know, Christina noted on the question I raised that the independent objector didn't have standing to file a string confusion objection. And I think that in the public interest, that I would agree with what Rubens has typed in the chat, which is that the IO should have standing on string confusion. Thank you.
Thank you. That seems like a point we should also take back to the discussion with respect to the independent objector process, since this is sort of an issue that would sort of straddle both string confusion and the fashioning of the independent objector. I know in the chat Rubens has said option one in the 2012 AGB, registries and applicants. Option two, registries plus applicants plus the independent objector. Option three, anyone. Okay, so we've got three different types of standing we could have. What do folks think about being the more appropriate standard? I see Rubens has typed, my vote is option two, to add the independent objector. So, again, option two is the folks who would have standing would be the registries. Scroll back now. The registries, the applicants, and the independent objector. Okay. And I see Christina has typed, if we're going to relax standing, which would be independent objector and anyone, we need to require an early dismissal mechanism so applicants don't have to spend money defending ridiculous objections. And again, this would be something I think that we would be tied into the frivolous objections issue and the creation of a means to quash frivolous objections as they arise. Okay. Did anyone else have any thoughts on the appropriate standing for string confusion objections? Should we explore all of these options further, maybe take it to the list? Okay. Anybody want to weigh in on any of these points in the proposal for string confusion objection? All right, well, I don't see any hands or hear any more voices, so let's go on to the next slide then. Please. Okay, with respect to string confusion objections, we've got some outstanding questions from our previous discussions on these issues, and it would be great if we could get some feedback on these issues today, as we are coming to sort of a conclusion here in this initial phase of the process of coming to our initial report. So the outstanding questions that we need to discuss are, is consolidation of objections inherently unfair in any way? And how to proceed if the objector is an existing TLD operator? Are special considerations or guidelines needed? Okay, so does anyone have any thoughts on some of these outstanding questions? I see Alan's got his hand up. Please, Alan, go ahead.
I don't have any thoughts specifically right now, but I want to understand the second bullet. Why was that raised?
How to proceed if the objector is an existing TLD operator.
Yeah, I mean, that did happen in the first round, but I want to understand why it's being raised as a special case.
It came out of a previous discussion, and I honestly don't remember who it was that sort of brought it up and, you know, kind of brought it up initially for us to consider. So I'm sorry to say I don't know a lot of the background around how that particular issue got into the an outstanding question.
Robin, this is Gigi. May I comment on that?
Please.
I don't know if this is the origin of the issue, but one position that has come up is in regard to verified TLDs, particularly in highly regulated strings. In the situation where there is a verified TLD in a highly regulated sector, if there is another similar string for something in that same sector that is not verified, it stands to present a public safety issue. So therefore, with the idea of the public good in mind, that in the case of a verified TLD, particularly in a highly regulated area, that that any subsequent strings that might be applied for that would be a synonym or an exact translation of that existing GPLD, if it is to be allowed, that it must have the same types of restrictions in place in order to avoid a public safety issue.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for that. I see we've got a hand up. Jamie Baxter. Jamie, please go ahead.
Yes, Jamie Baxter for the transcript. I think with respect to point number one, I would like to suggest that we continue on with what the guidebook currently says, which is that consolidation should happen wherever and whenever possible, and that it should be encouraged. I don't think that this objection process should become a profit center for providers, especially if they're responding in the exact same way to multiple objections. And I also share a concern that if a nonprofit or a community or those without a lot of financial resources are required to respond through the objection process to applications that could inherently be detrimental to them, you know, when it gets to be multiple applications, it gets to be very, very pricey. And so I think that the guidebook currently says that objections should be, or consolidation of objections should be encouraged wherever and whenever possible. I think we should actually provide further guidance to encourage it and require it at times. So that this, like I stated earlier, it doesn't become a huge profit center for these providers who just look at every opportunity to make as much money as they can and do very little work.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, Jamie. Next in the queue is Christina. Please go ahead.
Sure, Christina Rose at Amazon Registry. I understand Jamie's point, and I agree that there's definitely reasons of efficiency to encourage consolidation of objections, but the path that we're going down now basically requires that. And I guess the concern about consolidation of objections comes from, and I don't really know how to characterize this, other than the fact that the failure or weakness of one applicant's response will have an adverse impact on all of the other applicants in that same contention set. So in other words, if you have five applicants in a consolidated objection and three don't respond and one responds with a very kind of cursory response, even if applicant number five has put in a really robust, strong response, the fact that they're all consolidated is basically going to, as a practical matter, bleed over to applicant number five. So that's the main source of unfairness that I think you're going to see there.
Okay. Thanks very much. That's really helpful. I see Jamie has his hand up. Oh, please, Jamie, go ahead.
Yes, Jamie Baxter for the transcript. Christina, that's a very valid point, and I concur. I think consolidation, and we proposed this in the past, that consolidation could happen strictly with the client, that there, because the work is basically the same, it's not as though the evaluators are doing the work four or five times separately, independently. They're doing it all together. And so the consolidation, I think, is more focused on the financial aspect of it than it is on only giving one answer, because what we have seen in the past is that the answers were almost verbatim for multiple responses to objections, but they were all paid for independently. And that is, I think, where the flaw is.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Anyone else want to weigh in on this or any of the other outstanding questions on the screen? Anyone have thoughts on how to proceed if the objector is an existing TLD operator? Does that change the nature of the situation in some way that we need special considerations or guidelines, or should it not matter? Okay, I see we've got a queue here. Jamie and then Alan. Please, Jamie, go ahead.
Thanks, Jamie, once again. Perhaps one thing that could assist in this consolidation aspect is that the applicants, or the objectors, I'm sorry, should be able to provide a rationale for why they believe it should be consolidated. I mean, they didn't really get any say in it, done independently by the evaluation panelists. So I think maybe if there's a mechanism in place that allows a case to be made for why something should be consolidated, if in fact it doesn't automatically get consolidated by the providers.
Sure, just like a request to consolidate the matter. Okay. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. If on the question of should existing TLD operators who are objections be considered differently, unless we hear of how they should be considered differently and exactly how they should be treated differently, then I don't see any merit in maintaining and keeping that question.
Fair enough. Anyone else have any thoughts on that point? Okay, I'm not hearing any voices or seeing any hands, so it sounds like that's the second point isn't really something we need to continue on with, but the first one, we've had a lot of really good suggestions for how to maybe tailor that in an appropriate way, the consolidation of an objection, preventing unfairness with respect to them. I see Christina has typed in the chat, there's another reason to avoid automatic consolidation. One of the applicants may have trademark rights in the mark that the string matches. Required consolidation would likely weaken that applicant's ability to prevail in NSCO. And Rubens has typed, but that could be particular to that dispute resolution provider. If it was carried by ICC, then it could be $1 million instead of 5,000. Okay? So again, it sounds like we're talking about something that maybe the automatic consolidation isn't the way to go, but some kind of a request to consolidate and a little bit of discretion, such that where the facts make sense, consolidation would be allowed, but it wouldn't be if it isn't right for the particular matter. Anyone else want to weigh in on this? I see in the chat, Jamie has typed, the problem with letting the provider make the final decision on consolidation is that the loss of income for them will always be an influencer. Aha. Okay. Good point. Any other thoughts on consolidation of objections? Okay. Well, I'm not hearing any more. Let's go on then to the next slide, please. Okay, our upcoming meeting schedule. So 1 week from today, Tuesday, March 6th at 1500 UTC, we've tentatively got a meeting scheduled. We're calling it our pre-face-to-face review of the Work Team 3 initial report. So the thought was, and we really are looking for feedback in this meeting, if you guys think it would be an appropriate good use of our time next week, is to go over put all of the different pieces of the WT3 report together and sort of present that and go over that and ask questions on that at the meeting next Tuesday, a week from today. And then we've also got a meeting Saturday, March 10th, in San Juan at the ICANN meeting at 1700 UTC. It's the overall subsequent procedures face-to-face meeting, and work teams 1 through 4 will be on at this time, 12 o'clock San Juan. So that's when another time when we've got another meeting planned, another discussion time planned going forward. So I really kind of wanted to open it up and see what do folks think about meeting next week. Would it be useful to sort of talk about some of the Work Team 3 report, all of the different aspects of it, and go through it in preparation for our meeting in San Juan? Or do you think it won't be necessary, that you would prefer to just sort of, you know, read it on your own and discuss it with your various constituencies on your own, and then come to Puerto Rico ready to talk about it? So let me just sort of open that up there and see what, take a temperature of the room here, how folks would like to proceed on this issue next week. Anyone want to get in the queue?
Hey, Robin, it's Jim Prendergast.
Yes.
Jump in the queue.
Please. Please go ahead.
So, just, I guess, a couple things. One, do we have any sense of how the face-to-face meeting in San Juan is going to be run? I apologize, I wasn't on the plenary last night, so it may have been discussed, but my sense from those meetings in the past is that may not present the best atmosphere for us to go through a document such as the one that you're talking about and all the other work tracks have. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead. I apologize.
The only other thing, has the document for Work Track 3 been circulated yet or no? And if it hasn't, I would suggest that it be circulated, you know, as far in advance of any call or meeting meant to discuss it as possible, so people have a chance to, amongst all the other competing things on their time, especially leading up to an ICANN meeting, they've got the chance to go through it thoroughly and edit, you know, in the Google Docs form or wherever else. Thanks.
Right. I don't believe that it has been circulated yet, because I think it's largely still in draft form. The different bits and pieces of it are being drafted by all the different, you know, by different participants, and so it's being put together now. I see Cheryl's got her hand up, and so I'm guessing she's going to be able to provide some clarity on this issue. Please, Cheryl, go ahead.
Excuse me. Thank you, Robin. I'm hoping to provide a little clarity, although it may not be all that much clearer than where we are struggling right now. As we discussed in the plenary yesterday, certainly we have, excuse me, I just have to cough for a moment. Oh, do apologise for that. We do have the component parts of the initial report having material entered into it at the moment from the various work track leads. It is, I trust, not having read it through in the last 24 hours, getting closer to being a reasonable to publish form. And we have our work track leadership team meeting, I believe, within the next 24 hours. And I would like to think that Jeff and everyone will agree with me that we should be releasing it for as a Google Doc draft for comment as soon as practically possible after that. That certainly would be my intention, but it obviously will take the agreement and compliance of all of the other work track leaders as well. But what I will say and would suggest that would be in a preamble when we send the link out to the Google Docs is that it should be treated as a work in progress, because I don't want the whole thing being held up by one work track believing they're not as advanced as the other three. So if one looks a little less polished, so be it. But we won't be critical about that, because we'll all be collegiate and collaborative. Does that help?
Great. Thank you very
yes.
much. Yes, that does help. And also, Cheryl, with respect to our meeting in San Juan on Saturday, so my understanding is each one of the, and please correct me if I'm wrong, each one of the work tracks, 1 through 4, basically is going to have around 45 minutes or so to maybe delve into one or two issues from that work track on Saturday, March 10th. Is my understanding correct?
Robin, Cheryl here for the record. Steve can certainly confirm if the timing on that is exactly in your understanding. It certainly is what I would be expecting, but Steve can let us know if some of the numbers on that is different. And what it can allow you to do, rather than necessarily delve into one or two things in depth, is take the advantage of making sure your assembled group has a good understanding of the specific highlights, any fully formed or mostly formed in consensus recommendations that your work tracks are making, and to review any questions that you're going to be posing in terms of the public comment. Just reminding you all that, of course, if you don't have consensus on a particular point, it may be a very ideal opportunity for you to put a question on that matter to the wider community. There may, of course, be some things which you don't have consensus on for change, but that the group also isn't motivated to ask a question on, and that's the point where you could clarify that as well. Does that help, Robin?
Yeah, it does, and actually I'm sort of thinking that would probably be a better use of our time in Puerto Rico.
Cheryl, here for the record, in my very biased view, yes, it would be.
Great. Okay, well, let's quickly go back to next week, a week from today, March 6th. And can we sort of take a poll of the people in the room about who can participate or who wants to participate, who thinks it will be a helpful, useful meeting for us to have next week, 1 week from today, to go over the details of the initial report. This is sort of an assumption, but I'm guessing the draft will be circulated sometime this maybe weekend. I don't want to be speaking out of turn there. That's just a guess. But so then do folks think that meeting on next Tuesday would be helpful for us to sort of really dig into the report in detail and go through it with the membership of this work team? So let's do a green check mark if you think that you would like to have this meeting next week to discuss the initial report draft, and a red X if you think we don't need to do that, let's just read it on our own and then come to San Juan prepared to talk about it. Okay, so go ahead and cast your vote. I'll be patient. Okay, so far I'm seeing 1, 2, 3 red X's and 1 green check. Okay, so it's not a lot of participation in the poll, but it does seem to indicate that maybe next week's call wouldn't be the most useful use of our time. Anybody want to disagree with that? So shall we say that we're not going to meet next week? And we're just going to go to San Juan prepared to discuss this? Okay, I see Alan's got his hand up. Please, Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I don't think it's an issue of whether it will be useful or not. It's a matter of whether we can fit in a meeting, in my case, a day before I get on a plane, in other people's case, perhaps a day or two, when they're trying to tidy up their real work to get too big away from their offices and homes for, you know, a week and a half or so. So just fitting it in, I think, is difficult. If we had the luxury of the time, it would be useful. But there's no way I could attend it. So thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Karen, please go ahead. Karen, are you on the line? I'm not hearing anything.
If you mean Karen Bernstein, I'm abstaining because I'm not going to Puerto Rico.
Okay. I thought I saw Karen Day's hand up.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I was just sitting here talking to myself, as usual. I just wanted to say quickly the reason that this is Karen Day for the record. The reason Robin and I had originally asked for this to be scrunched into our schedule was because we were wanted to have this here as a placeholder in case we had not finished going through all of our issues for our writing purposes. But I think we are in a good place for our writing. So I feel good about not having it and releasing that time back to people to prepare for the meeting. And you guys can just take your red pens and have at what we are putting down on paper for your consideration, and then come see us in San Juan and we'll go to work from there. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, that does seem to be sort of the sense of the room, that at least that I'm getting as well. Okay, anybody else want to weigh in on this, or have we decided? Not seeing any more hands or hearing any more voices, I think we've decided that we will not meet next week. Tuesday, March 6th, and we will simply review the reports on our own, discuss them with our constituencies on our own, and then come to Puerto Rico on March 10th using our time on a face-to-face there to discuss what's in the report and get some feedback and take some questions on that. Okay, then let's move on to AOB, any other business? Did anyone want to bring anything up? Okay, well, I am not seeing or hearing anyone, so I will take that as no. And that concludes our agenda, and it looks like we're about 10 minutes before the hour, so everybody gets 10 minutes back to their day. And this is our last meeting before we go to Puerto Rico, so I will look forward to seeing many of you in San Juan. And with that, I guess we can close the meeting, and thank you all for participating. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you so much.
Meeting has
Thanks, everyone. Today's meeting has been adjourned. You can disconnect online. Have a good rest of the day or night.